Oh, Mr. Castellan. I won't drop it. Try not to. Oh, a cute picture of you and your wife on there. Okay. So, what would you do if your cell phone loses connection? What do you do? Did that ever happen to any of you? I know sometimes I'm talking to people on the phone and, you know, their phone cuts out. And so hang on, especially you people that live in Tonopah, right? Hang on, and they're walking around their house and trying to find that sweet spot. There's certain areas where you drive, even in Phoenix, every time you go there, it stops. It just drops out, right? Even if you're by a tower, sometimes if you're by a tower, sometimes there's connection points, it just blanks out on you, right? When our cell phones go out, we want to get them reconnected because through these little things, we connect with everything, don't we? We connect with everything. These little gadgets here. So if you lose connection, you want to do everything you can to regain that connection. We stand here on the eve of a new year. 2021 will go down as the year when more connections were made by machines than there are people on the earth. Okay, that hasn't happened before. 80.63% of the world's population owns either a smartphone or a cellular phone. This figure is up considerably from 2016, when only 49.40% of the world's global populations were connected via smart or cell phone. So from 16 to 2021, the huge increase, 80% of the world's population is now connected through a mobile device. Almost half of the planet owns a smartphone and two-thirds with a mobile device. From 2016 to 2021, that is a 73.88% increase in the number of people with phones. 73% since 2016. That's a huge increase. According to GSMA, real-time intelligence data, there are now over 10.3 billion mobile connections worldwide, which surpasses the current world population of 7.91 billion, implied by the UN estimates. That data means that there are 2.62 billion more mobile connections than people worldwide. That's a lot of machines. You heard about the Internet of Things and machines connecting with machines? Well, it's happening, and we're living through it. 2021 is the year machines officially have out-connected people. To put this in perspective, since the cell phone's inception in 1973, mobile device connections have surpassed the number of people in the world, making it the fastest-growing human-made technological phenomenon ever. Ever. Everything is being connected by electronic devices. So if you lose connection, you lose connection with everything. Let's look at the top five websites in this year, 2021. The number one most visited website, and I'm gonna stick to the U.S. in the U.S. is, what do you think? Huh? Okay. Number three, Google's 25. Yeah, Google slipped. The number one website is Wikipedia. Wikipedia is the number one visited website in 2021. Number two, YouTube. YouTube. Number three, Amazon. And then number four and five, and I put them together because they're both social media sites, Facebook and Twitter. So as I consider these things, what are people looking for on their connections by virtue of the websites they go to? Wikipedia, they're looking for knowledge. Knowledge. Why do you go to Wikipedia? To learn something, right? YouTube, they're looking for what? That's a combination of everything, isn't it? Knowledge, and entertainment. And I looked at the top 10 videos of this year, and I would say stupidity. The guy, number one video was a guy that spent 50 hours buried in a grave. 50 hours buried in a grave. As I looked at them, I looked at the top 10. What struck me was, again, 50 hours in a grave, no reference to God, no reference to death, no reference to hell. I mean, if I would have done a stunt where I spent my, if they buried me 50 hours in a grave, I'd be like down there preaching the gospel. This is what it's going to be like, and you're dead and your soul's in hell, right? My video wouldn't have been the top one. The kids that did this just did stupid pranks the whole time and dumb stuff. But YouTube has a mix of a lot of entertainment, and there's some good knowledge on there too, right? So YouTube's number three. YouTube's number two. Amazon, number three. So that's stuff. So if you go knowledge, entertainment and knowledge, stuff, and then social connection, Facebook and Twitter. So we have all of this connectivity. But if you look at the state of religion across the board in America, we are losing in America our most basic connectivity. And that is our connection with God. There are several studies. I'll quote one, and I quote, "The more time one spends on the internet, the greater odds are that that person will not be affiliated with religion," unquote. That's what studies are finding. Why? I quote, "One key factor is the internet religion trade-off is simply that time spent online often displaces time that could be spent on religious connections." So that's what's happening in 2021 with all this connectivity. There is a trade-off, and they call it the internet religion trade-off. Does that mean you can't use this for Jesus Christ? Of course not. But it means across the board, the more you're connected, statistically, it's taking away from things that historically and traditionally were used to connect people to God and to religious things. In other words, we as a society are more connected to everything but God through technology. So, this is a two-part message. One today, which is the last Sunday of 2021, and then Lord willing, next Sunday will be the first Sunday in 2022. And my point is this, to connect everything to God. That's my point. That everything should be connected to God so that through God, everything in your life is connected to God and then to everything else, including this. God needs to be first in your life. So, I'm going to ask you, will you ask God to show you how to apply this in your life? Will you ask God to say, you know what, I want 2022 to be about connection, my connection with you. I want to connect everything to God. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want to put God first. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. I want to acknowledge that. So how many people would say, I'm going to take this time this week as I inventory this year, as I prepare for next year, as I prepare for my New Year's resolutions, what God is calling me to do. There's things that God is calling me to connect in. And there might be some things where God is calling you to disconnect from the world, to disconnect from some distractions that are keeping you. Maybe you've fallen into some of these ruts. Maybe keeping you from the things you used to do that connect you with God, to disconnect from those so that you can connect more clearly to Christ. Would you do that? Would you pray that? Father, we say yes, and we know that you are the God who hears our prayers, and we know that you are the God that is very interested in this, because you are a God who connects with us. So we ask that you would help us to firm up that connection, to understand what that means, and to walk that out more clearly next year. We pray this in Jesus' name. And thank you for what you will show us today and in this next week. If you lost connection with your cell phone, you would do something about it, right? Well, if you lost connection with your soul to God, let's be even more concerned about that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Mark chapter 4 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I think about it all the time. It's the parable of the seed and the sower. For me, I keep notes of the messages I preached, and to me it's like, well, I already preached this one. Well, I preached it in 2004. So it's like, I still think in those ways, because I have my notes in a note, and I have them all recorded when I preached. But it's just such a great passage. I love this passage. So we're going to walk through this, because this passage really is the salient passage on connection. It is a wonderful, Jesus will tell us. He said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any parables? So if you don't get this one on connecting with God, it's going to be hard to understand any of them in your Bible. Mark chapter 4, verse 1, and he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So that he got into a boat and sat on it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. So an amazing amphitheater, right? Have you ever noticed when you're on the water how you can hear better the other person who's on the boat? Have you ever noticed that? It's really cool, like especially if you're right by the water. So, yeah, like people on the boat on the other side when you're on like Lake Pleasant and there's people talking, they're just talking like this and you can hear them. It's because the water molecules are actually closer together on the water surface, and sound travels faster and clearer. I don't know if it's faster, but it travels better on the water's edge. So Jesus is taking advantage of this. He's back off the water. It's this natural amphitheater. He's on the boat, and he's speaking to the people. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? Well, we can't go back to that point, but we can have the sermon. So we have what Jesus said to the people. He taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in this teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The main imperative in this is hear. Listen, you're going to see it right here in verse 9. Let him hear. And again, later on in the text, let him hear. Four responses. Common, everyday occurrence. Planting of seed. Now, just like much of our life is dependent upon connecting through our work and whatnot, right? If we don't connect, we can't make a living. Things don't work out so well. What was their life dependent upon? Seeds. Their life was dependent upon the harvest. Growing food. Okay? Some of you are gardeners, but most of us aren't dependent upon our garden. I'm thankful I'm not dependent upon my garden for everything, although I sure like the garden. You take those seeds, and I garden. I just throw my seeds out. I love throwing seeds out on the garden and seeing what comes up. I'm not a real systematic gardener. I'm an interesting gardener. So if you look at my garden, I got stuff growing everywhere, right? Because I like to grow, and I just throw seeds there, and I throw seeds here, and then I see what comes up. Hey, there's a little organization to it, but that's kind of how I do it. So as you're throwing out the seeds, what happens? Well, the birds come and eat the seeds. Bummer. Some hits the stony ground, and they'll grow a little bit, but they, again, They don't have the roots. They don't put the roots down, and they don't make it. And then there's some really where they get choked out. So like, we have to get in there and weed. So if we don't weed that garden, the good lettuce, because lettuce grows a little slower. You know, this is lettuce season. If you don't, and this is true of any farmer, right? If you don't get the weeds, they got to kill it with a chemical, or you got to weed it. Because if you don't get the weeds out of there, they grow faster than what you just planted, and you will not get anything. I've had that happen many times, and you don't get it. So we had to get in there and pull the weeds out. So me and my kid Kaylin, she's my top weeder right now. She does a great job weeding with me, and get those weeds out. And then what happens is, but if the thorns, the weeds, they'll choke it out and it won't grow. It'll just stay little, won't get the sunlight. And then there's the fourth response, the good ground. Four different responses to God's word because there are four different connections. Let's define this connection. There are two kinds of people. And there are only two kinds of people. So the end result of this parable is that there are only two kinds of people. There are those who are connected, and there are those who are not connected to God. Fair enough? This is very clear throughout the teachings of Scripture. This is very important to understand this. There is light, and there is darkness. There is good, there is evil. There is right, there is wrong. And from our perspective, because we're fallen, we tend to mix them together, right? That's Satan's point, mix them together. Well, not really good, not really bad. You know, I have a connection with God, but it's not where it should be. It's not, right? So the parable of the seed and the sower kind of takes us where we are and shows us those various connection points, and some of them are kind of confused a little bit, and there's some activity that's kind of hard to discern. But in the end, by time comes through, right? By time that garden matures, right? By the time it's ready for harvest, you see, there's no question. There's this response, there's this response, there's this response. Those three responses produce nothing. There's only one response that's connected. There's only one response that bears fruit. So, he says in verse 10, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables.'" So Jesus, in Mark's gospel, is developing. There's the insiders and there's the outsiders, right? The insiders are those who he chose. They're going to get more revelation. But those who are outside, they get parables. Because, verse 12, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, that they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. That's a judgment. That's from the book of Isaiah. So there's a judgment on those who will refuse and not hear God's word. But then he said in verse 13, "Do you understand this parable?" So he brings it down to them. Now he's talking to the insiders, so you could say he's talking to us, the church, right? "Do you understand this parable?" And then he makes this very important statement, which puts the value on this parable, the parable of the seed and the sower, verse 13. He says, "How then will you understand all the parables?" So in other words, if you can't understand this parable, this is the key parable to understanding all the parables and the teachings I'm telling you. Again, what is a parable? Parable, parallel. There's a parallel line. There's two parallel lines. It's an earthly story with the spiritual truth. Parallel, parable, right? It's an earthly story, parable of the seed and the sower, but along that parallel line, there's a heavenly truth being taught here. So this is an essential heavenly truth that is being taught that gives us insight into the kingdom of God that is necessary for interpreting all the parables. Let's go into this connection explained. Connection explained. He's going to explain it now to us. Verse 14. What does the sower represent? Well, he says very clearly, right? The sower sows the word. The sower sows Scripture. So what is the seed here? We know what a seed is to a plant. What does that represent for us? The seed is the Word, the Scripture. What does God use to connect with His people? The Word, the Bible, Scripture. So this connection is going to hinge on your relationship with the Bible, God's holy Word. The sower goes out to sow because God wants to connect with you and you and you. He wants to connect with you. He wants you connected to Him. And He wants to connect with you. And God does that by speaking to you in His Word, the Bible. Beautiful. So, the sower goes out and he sows the Word. And there are four responses to God's Word. But remember, there are ultimately only two connections. There's a connection with God, and then those who are not connected with God. But there are four responses to get there. The first response, as we have seen, Jesus said in verse 15, He's going to explain it to us. And these are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. So by the wayside, that's kind of off the main area where the seed is. As you cast the seed out, some of the seed is going to fall over there. Some of the seed is going to fall over here. When they hear the Word, what happens? Immediately, Satan comes. And immediately takes the Word that was sown in their hearts. Immediately. Not even a thought. So as you share God's Word with others, there are some that as soon as they hear the Word, doesn't even penetrate. They're not interested in hearing God's Word. Not interested. Speak to some people, right? You get that response, don't you? No thanks. No thank you. Not interested. They might say it with a smile. They may say it without a smile. But you can get there really quick, right? Would you like some good news about who God is? No thank you. Would you like to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ? No. Been there, done that. I don't need that. Get all kinds of different responses. Nope. So that is what is happening in the spiritual realm. As the Word is going forth, who's right there to take the Word? You see that? Spiritual battle, isn't it? Satan is right there. He is right there to say, no, you don't need the Word. He's right there to take any truth that you may hear and just gobble it up. Remove it altogether. Immediately, that takes place. Okay, that's the first one. And that one is pretty clear. The Word goes out, not interested. But there's others now that are deceptive. The next two are deceptive connections. Okay, the first one's not deceptive in that the person was deceived, but it's clear. No, I don't believe, I'm not interested. The next two are deceptive connections. And the reason they are deceptive is because there is some receptivity. So these very well could be people in the church. These are definitely religious people. Okay, these are people that say, oh, I believe in Jesus, right? They would say, Jesus is the reason for the season. They would be pro-Christmas. They would be pro-Christianity. They would not have a hard time with the Bible. They would say, yeah, I respect God's Word. They may even say Jesus dies on the cross and He rose again from the dead, and that's the most important message ever. They may even confess things like that, okay? So when you get into these next two responses, it can be a little confusing because they can be deceptive. Now, in the parable, it's really great that we have the agricultural analogy to really help us. We can see this. We can see what happens. Because there are those seeds that will fall on the stony ground. So it may not be the best ground, but it's some soil that when the seeds are on that ground, they do take root. It may be a connection that you have that's not the best connection. Do you ever have a connection, like sometimes when I was out hunting, I'm trying to, actually this last year I had a very good connection. I couldn't believe it. I could talk to my wife the whole time out in the middle of the woods. But usually, you know, I'm like, I sent a picture. I got an elk, right? And then I put it on, and it just as the thing, the wheel spins and spins and spins, and eventually, you know, it goes off, and she gets it maybe an hour or 2 hours later. I just have no connection. So that kind of connection, right? You get those kind of connections when you're out in the wilderness or out in the BLM land, outside of Phoenix, stuff like that. So we have those connections on our phones. They're kind of, it's a faint signal. Okay, we all know what a faint signal is. So these are the kind of connections that are the stony ground. But when it goes through, it's like, hey, it went through. On the stony ground, Jesus says, there is a gladness in hearing the word. Hey, thank you for sharing that with me. So, that's good. So you have a good reception. Immediately receives it with gladness. So there is an immediate expression of gladness for the seed that was sown, the Word of God sown. So as you go, as you share the gospel, as you raise your children, and you share them God's Word, as you walk along and talk along, some children will say yes. Some people, some neighbors, as I share the gospel with others in the neighborhood, sure, I believe. Okay, good. Right? But yet, this is where we have to be careful, because Satan is there taking the seed out. He's trying to distract people. And they just because someone makes a commitment, just because you share the gospel with someone and says, I believe, is that the end of the story? Not at all. This is the beginning. Right? It's just that the plant comes up. Are you ready to harvest the plant? Not at all. Right? There's an initial reception, but what does Jesus say? What happens? There's no root. Okay? There's no root. These are the ones on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arise for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. And when they stumble, they don't get back up. So you see, the key word there is they have no root what? In themselves. In other words, they will not take responsibility to keep God's word in their heart. They will not take responsibility to take the word and feed themselves God's word. You have to keep spoon feeding them. You have to keep dragging them along, right? You ever have a child like that? This is your responsibility as a pastor to a church. My responsibility is to preach the word and to equip the saints for the work of ministry, is to encourage you to fulfill your calling that God has called you, and to help encourage you and challenge you and train you how to take God's word and feed yourself. But it is your responsibility to feed yourself. Right? And only you can do it. Only you can say, you know, here's the word. But only you can choose to receive it. So the one here will not take responsibility to receive the word into his life or her life. He'll forget. Oh, I didn't. You read your Bible today, son? No. Do you read your Bible today? No. No, 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 no. Well, I believe the Bible. I just don't what? I just don't receive it. Right? You know what that means? The stony ground. You're not taking responsibility to feed yourself in the Word. And you know what that results in? A disconnect with God. That's the second one. But there's a third one, and these are the thorns. And I think the thorns are even more deceptive, because the first plant, if there's no root in itself, the plant never even does anything. Okay, this plant actually gets going a little bit. So I don't know about you, but I can never grow tomatoes in my garden, and there's a reason for that. I don't have enough stuff in my soil. OK, Okay, so I got my thing going with what I've got, my compost from my goats, and I integrate that all together, and I can grow really well. But I'm missing something. So I grow these beautiful tomato plants with no tomatoes. Okay, I might get two tomatoes. Right now, there's two tomatoes on them. Beautiful tomato plants. No tomatoes. Okay, that's what this is. This is the plant. It's the plant's alive, but it's not producing any fruit. There's deception there. This is deception. Okay, and these are the ones sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but what happens? The cares of this world, the stress of this world, the time pressure of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, covetousness, materialism. Well, if you understood my life, I don't have time for Scripture. I don't have time to get in God's Word in the morning. Oh, I understand. The time pressure and the desire for the things of this word, for the world, choke out the word. Now, I'm not talking, one day I forgot to read the Bible. I'm not being legalistic in that sense at all. I'm talking about a heart response to God's word. So if you sleep in one morning, what do you do in your commute? Right? What do you do in your break? Where does your heart go to? Does it go to Scripture? Or does it go to this? Ah, look at this. There is a great deception here. There is a great thing that you can go to that will take you and tell you anything that you want to know. It'll show you anything that you want to see. Right? And that's what's happening in 2021. This is displacing this. In our culture. Well, those are the statistics across the nation. Okay, the deceitfulness, the desire for other things, choke out the word. It chokes out your response to the word. It chokes it out. And it keeps you from connecting to God. It makes a weak signal weaker and weaker and weaker. And eventually, the signal dies. The plant has no life. The plant produces no fruit. The plant is not connected to God. So these three, the first one is clear. Nope. The second one plays around with it, and eventually, nope, trials come, pushback happens. Right? The third one, okay, I'm going with a little bit, maybe some years. Maybe I'm in the church. Maybe I was raised this way. Maybe I have this heritage. But eventually, I'm not really interested in Scripture. Okay. The end result is the same. Disconnected with God. Disconnected from God. Because of lies, Satan, worldliness, distractions, evil. That's the result of those three. Okay? But there is a verse 20. Jesus says, but there are the ones sown on good ground. What defines good ground? Your response to the word. It's the response to the word. So in the parable, there are those that are sown. And why is it good ground? Because what do? Those who hear the word and accept it. Two things. They hear it, they pay attention to it, and they accept it. They keep it in their heart. They accept it and they keep it in their heart. And lo and behold, what do? They bear fruit. Because all who accept God's word and take responsibility for themselves to do the most important thing you have to do, to put God first and to connect with God through Scripture, by the power of His Holy Spirit, who opens your heart to believe the truth of the Word of God, that is the most important thing, to walk with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who speaks to us. the God who is there. He's real. He's alive. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. He rose again from the dead. He gave His Spirit, and He spoke out this book, the breath of God. Here it is. So those who hear the word and keep it, they bear forth fruit. Now, even in that, we're not all equal. There's a great inequality. There's gifts and abilities that are different. There's people that start when they're 10, when they're 20, when they're 30, when they're 40, when they're 70. You know, you get saved at 50. You got to work through more stuff, right? You're still going to bear fruit, though, aren't you? It's just going to be less fruit, perhaps, than the guy that was saved when he was younger. Point is, there's fruit, but the fruit can look different. And that is so, that is a lot of wisdom right there. That's so true in an agricultural setting, right? Not, I think we had a good apple harvest this year in Arizona, but around us, apple harvest was miserable. They got no rain, right? Arizona had a great apple harvest, but other states around us had a horrible time of it. Some of the great apple-producing states didn't produce as much, right? There's a lot of factors. So in nature, so in us. There's a lot of factors, okay? But there's a commonality of when you hear God's word and accept it, you will bear fruit. See it? And you can, and that fruit is tangible by God's grace. So, four connections in real time explained. Connections explain. My question for you is now this. How is your connection to God? How is your connection to God? Right where you are. Whether you're 5, 10, 20, an adult. How is your connection to God? How are you responding to God's word? And then what fruit are you bearing? God's word will make clear your connection to God. Keep connected to God. Verse 21. Jesus is Lord of all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. God's will is that your connection to Him is the main connection which interprets and directs everything. It's your main presupposition. It's your main value. Okay? Your value of God. Now again, that's what God's word says. So when you receive God's word, you receive the truth that Jesus is Lord of all. Right? That's what Scripture teaches. That's our central. There is one God. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We go to the Father through the Son by the Spirit, right? That salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's this amazing grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our connection, is salvation. By faith in Him, we receive His Word. So when we receive this connection from Scripture, we bow our hearts, our minds to the Lordship of Christ, motivated by His grace and His mercy and His love that He has for sinners like you and me. And in doing so, this then becomes our main presuppositional basis that guides our feet, our mind, our hearts, our hands, everything we touch, everything we go, everything we think, what we do. It's comprehensive. So this is the main purpose of the gospel, to connect us to God and then to show us how to connect God to everything else. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Psalm 119 talks about all these beautiful aspects of God's word. So it's a lamp to my feet. So God's word shines the light, shows me where to walk. So the word of God guides me. I pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So my prayer, my meditation, Psalm 1, my prayers are about advancing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It's all directed towards my connection to God and then everything in life. This is the main connection. So the main thing is to keep the main thing, the what? The main thing. What is the goal of every football team? All that activity goes into one thing. To get that ball across the goal line, offense, and to keep the other team from doing the same thing. There's a lot of details that go into that, right?
But that's the goal. So we need to keep the goal as the goal.
Get the ball across the line. Get the word in my heart. And to walk that out before God. Jesus says this is important because this main thing will be made clear. Verse 21. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on the lampstand?" Okay. Where are the lights hanging in this room? Why are the lights up on the ceiling? To illuminate. What if the lights were just flat down on the floor? Would that make any sense? It would be very dark. That's right. Thank you. It would be very dark in here. Yeah. So putting the lights on the floor would not be a good idea. Why is Jesus saying this right here? Why is he saying you should put the lights on the ceiling, not on the floor? Because in verse 22, he says, "There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to the light." Now, I think God made cell phones for his purposes. Jesus Christ is Lord of the cell phone. Okay? But most people, and I say most people, looking at the statistics, are using the cell phone to do things in the dark. 20% of all cell phone, not computer, 20% of all smartphone is searching for porn. 20%. And that's the conservative estimate. Okay? Why? Why is there a difference between this and the desktop and the laptop? Secrecy. Right? You know, I thought it was the coolest example of the older pastors. They would say, you know, "Show me your checkbook and I'll show you your walk with God." And that used to be, that was like one of my favorite taglines, right? "Show me your checkbook and I'll show where your walk with God really is." Now there's something even more. "Show me your history. What are you looking at?" Okay. What are you looking at on this phone? You searching for knowledge, entertainment, just stupid stuff? Or are you searching for the fear of the Lord and how you could use this as a tool to glorify and advance the kingdom in actual real time and not just wasting your life and time? Okay. So, Jesus said, there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed in your heart. This is just a record of it. That's all this is. This is just a mirror of what's going on. This is a mirror. It's actually recorded in real time with statistics that you can look up, which is interesting. All it shows is, well, it shows the nature of man. Jesus' point is we put the lights on the ceiling because his light is the word, and the word will reveal everything. Okay? There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Everything should come to the light. And what is the light that will reveal everything? Scripture. In your life and in my life. Now, he says this, if anyone has ears to hear, here's the imperative, let him hear. There it is again. Okay? Now, I'll get to the punchline. When I hear that, I could get a little nervous. Okay? I've sinned. This is the greatest grace. If you understand the grace of God, you can confess your sin before God reveals it on judgment. That's the best hope for anyone. Right? You can confess your sin. You can get connected with God by grace before he reveals it. Again, he who humbles himself will be used by God. But he who exalts himself, he'll be humbled. So let's, if any man hears, let him hear. Let's walk in the light. Let's walk in the light. Now Jesus comes and he gives the imperative again, defining connection, verse 24. He said to them, take heed what you hear. So here's the conclusion. If the word of God is going to expose everything, what should we do? Jesus says, maybe we should take heed. Now, I love the King James on this one. Take heed. I love that. Take heed, right? The word meaning of take heed is pay very close attention. But take heed just preaches better. Take heed, right? I preach from the New King James. Take heed. So it keeps that take heed part.
That means pay very close attention. How many parents ever tell their kids, are you listening to me? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Do you hear me? Would you look at me? Look at me. Look at me. And the kids are like, right? Look at me. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. That's what Jesus is saying here, right? We all identify with this. Listen. Pay very close attention with what I'm going to tell you. It's an imperative. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. What is he talking about measurement here? What does he want us to do? He wants us to listen. He wants us to receive his word. Then he says, take heed what you hear. Okay? Or you could say read. Remember, most people didn't have a copy of God's word back then. They were dependent upon going to the temple and hearing it spoken. Right? Like he's speaking it. Take heed what you hear. Then he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You who hear, more will be given. So here's the standard. There's a measurement standard. The same measurement that you use to hear will be used to you. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. So it's a reaping and sowing principle. So if you take in God's word, if you seek God's word, if you love God's word, if you hear God's word, the more you receive God's word, more of God's word will be given to you. That's what that means. This is true for every one of us. This is an inescapable reality. The more you hear and build your life on the Word of God, the more God will bless you with the knowledge of His will. But it goes both ways. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. More of what? More of the Word. More of the connections. You'll have a better signal with God. How do I get the best connection with God? Keep hearing God's word. Trust and obey. Hear God's word. Act upon God's word. Feed on God's word. Meditate on the word day and night. Psalm 1. That's how you grow your connection. You want all the bars to light up in your soul? You want that connection with God? It's this. Through the Holy Spirit, listening, heeding. And Jesus promises more will be given to you. Verse 25. But the converse is also true. For whoever has, to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. It goes both ways. So if you're hearing God's word, and you harden your heart, and you don't take responsibility to feed yourself the word of God, your parents tell you, but you don't listen. Your pastor tells you, but you don't listen. You get distracted, and you think you can run in those distractions. You think no one sees it. You know who sees it? God sees it, and He takes His word out of your heart. He keeps you from having the conviction and the understanding of the Word of God, and your heart becomes dull. You no longer respond to Him, and you start backing away. You back away. Anyone ever been there? Your heart is just not as receptive to God. I was praying about this week, and my sin that God revealed to me, which I always ask God to show me, or I try to, is some anxieties that came into my heart. Ooh, that's bad. I was anxious about some stuff, and those anxieties just took some of the sweetness of the Lord away from me. Ridiculous. Why should I be anxious for anything? Right? That's what it was for me. What is it for you? Now, if God shows you, that's a blessing. What if He doesn't show you? The most terrifying is when Satan just takes it out of your heart. Do you think that person knows that Satan just took the word out of their heart? Nope. Terrifying. They don't even know what they're missing. So when you get to the point where you don't even know what you're missing, see what I'm saying? You can't even remember the contrast of what it was like when you walk with God. That's called on the death path. Jesus said, again, He's giving us these two examples. If you hear my word, I'm going to give you more of my word. You're going to be able to connect to God and connect everything to God. You're going to be blessed. But if you don't do that, even the connections that you think you have will be taken from you. That's called death and contrast with life. The world is dying.
Go figure. They're connecting everything. They're building a great infrastructure of connections to themselves. Ha ha! We will overcome. What do you think? Is it the greatest thing ever? Babel? What happened at Babel? We will build a ziggurat, a tower to the heavens. Go confuse their languages. We have Google Translate now. We can do this. Come on, men, women, and everyone else, gender people or engendered people or lost gendered people, right? And the whole world is trying to do this. And they're trying to go against God. You want to join them? It's your connection that will make the difference for you, for your family, for your life. Let's talk about this kingdom growth. How does the kingdom grow? We know how the world grows, right? More connections than ever. Again, I believe Jesus has a purpose for this cell phone. I couldn't find how many times the Bible was downloaded. I got one. One was 14 billion. 14 billion times. Which just sounds like a lot. That was the number one Bible app. Which was, what was the number one Bible app? I forget. I couldn't get the, it was 2018, so I didn't want to quote it. Because it wasn't up to date. 14 billion sounds like a lot, but it doesn't even pale in comparison. It's not even on the top 100, not even close to the knowledge, Wikipedia, and all the stuff that the world is pumping out there, right? Not even close. So, how does the world advance? They're building these connections to themselves. Okay, we see it differently. We see it like this, verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops of itself, first the blade, then the head, after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. How did those lettuce plants get so big? Man, they're starting to bolt already. Right? What happened? I don't pay that much attention. I garden like kind of once a week. Monday's my day to kind of do that. What happened? I forget about it Tuesday. I'm like, garden what? Other things. Don't think about it. I'll sit there and watch my plants grow. Right? But then all of a sudden, that's how the kingdom grows. Imperceptible. You don't even realize it. That's how the kingdom grows. This is the coolest thing. And this is important because this is opposite of the world. This is the kingdom connection. Verse 30. There are small seeds with big results. He said to them, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. Take a little seed. Take a little mesquite seed. How many people eat mesquite beans? Like, it's like the coolest thing. In the middle of summer, you have all this food. There's food everywhere, right? More food than you could possibly eat. And you chew those seeds. But you cannot bite through those seeds. They're hard little stones, right? But you take one of those little teeny, teeny stones and you put it on the ground. If you water it, the thing is huge. Mesquite trees are huge, and they grow pretty fast. 5 to 8 years, you get a pretty big tree if you water it. If you water it too much, it'll just knock over in a storm. That's another story. The point is, a little teeny taking in God's word, you know, just receiving God's word. I'm going to love and not hate. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to disconnect that. I'm going to connect to God. You know, these things, they don't seem like, wow, hey, whoa, you read your Bible. It's not like, whoa, you don't get that fanfare, right? It just seems like a little deal. It's what you do. But this is what God uses to advance his kingdom. The sum total of it is amazing. 2021, go back 2,000 years and look at the world. Right? In my worldview class, we spent a whole time on this. I'm going to take some of you through that. I'm going to take you guys through that. When we get the building done. Men and women used to always be in jails. There was no respect for authority.
There's very little biblical jurisdictions that didn't exist in the world, right? All the stuff that they're trying to fight against, they're fighting against God and the liberty that God has given to us in America. They're fighting. We know that because we know our history. All these are the results of Christianity. And you know how they got? You know how those results took place? By imperceptible growth of people taking God's word and living it out in the fabric of their life. God annihilates and he brings down kingdoms and he advances his kingdom. The preaching of the gospel, the obedience to God's word, the Deuteronomy 6, get this word in your heart. And when you get up, when you lie down, you talk about it, you train your children, right? You write it on the doorposts of your house. Step by step, not all at once, but step by step, and the kingdom of God advances. That's why this is in here. That parable, the mustard seed, is in the parable of the seed and the sower to encourage you who are bearing not as much fruit as you'd like. You're not seeing enough results as you'd like to see. But it's in there to say, this is God's plan, and this is how God does it. You, what's the imperative? Take heed. That's what you need to do. You need to connect everything to God so that God can connect everything to you. And with such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all these things to his disciples. This is what faith does. This is how faith grows. Now, can you think of any exceptions to this? Well, I hear what you're saying, but in the real world, right, sounds great on a Sunday morning, but in the real world, how am I going to do that? Which means, how am I really going to, can I really trust this? Okay. So Jesus takes us to the real world, as if God's word's not real. It is real. The most important thing is to interpret life always through the perspective of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And faith in God's word, listen, is more real than the interpretation of your eyeballs. Okay? That's what connection with God is all about, and that's what is the hardest thing for us to do, is to disconnect from the world, from our natural interpretive grid through our natural senses and eyes, and to trust in God's word, and then through God's word to see everything. And Jesus knows that. Okay, so after he preaches this to them on the sea, he says to his disciples, come on guys, get in a boat. We're going to the other side. Okay, where are they going? Where are they going? They're going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is a big lake with sharp cliffs around that the wind hits and drives it down. The wind drives down and creates these mammoth waves. Okay. So they start rowing across the lake. And all the forces of nature unleash. And they're in this boat, and the boat's going up and down and crashing. And they're like, they're screaming. These are seasoned fishermen. They're like, we're dead. We're in the middle of the sea. And the boat is crashing. We're going to die. Jesus, what are you doing? The boat is filling up. And he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. He was exhausted. Teacher, you don't care that we are perishing. Teacher, you mean I'm supposed to have faith even now? Where is your God now? I'm struggling. I'm sinking in the boat. Can you help me now? And Jesus wakes up and he says, wind, stop blowing, calm down. And the wave, every wave, those 20-foot waves, they melted, gone. And the sea was as smooth as glass. That's what faith looks like in the real world. And he says this. Why are you so fearful?
Why are you afraid? I told you, we're going to the other side. Do not trust me. And they asked them the question that we need to ask ourselves. How is it that you have no faith? Jesus, because we are in a boat and we're about ready to die. Jesus, I have this marriage that's really hard. My finances aren't working. I have kids that are really hard. I can't put it all together. I can't organize myself. I don't know how that... We got all this craziness in our government. We're losing our liberties. All these reasons, Jesus, don't you see? And Jesus says, how is it that you have no faith? That's why he speaks to the wind and the waves, to show us, no matter what, you are called to walk by faith, receive his word, and trust in him. So let's take this time and pray to the Lord. Let's take this week and ask the Lord, how can I prepare my heart next year to seek the Lord in everything? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I thank you for Mark 4. And I pray now, God, I ask you, Lord, show me. Try my heart and see if there be any way in me, any anxieties in my heart where I'm not connecting to you. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray if there's someone here who does not know you, that you would open their eyes to see the gospel to save them from their sin. I thank you for the work that you have done in this year and the work you will yet do in the years ahead. We pray this in Christ's name. Let's stand together as a church family. Let's respond now to the preaching of the Word of God. Let's walk by faith and let's go to the Lord in prayer.